is Nightline.
Tonight, Princess Kate reveals she has cancer.
In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London. The test after the operation found cancer had been present.
The future Queen of England's shocking announcement.
William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family.
Reverberating across the country and around the world, echoing the firestorm earlier this month over that doctored Mother's Day photo.
If this announcement doesn't calm conspiracy theories, then I don't think anything will.
And the message to Kate and her family from Harry and Meghan. Plus,
please, anybody home?
House of Horrors. Disturbing new video in the case of Utah momfluencer Ruby Frankie, convicted of multiple child abuse charges. The horrifying injuries and humiliations inflicted on her two youngest children, documented by authorities responding to a neighbor's alert.
He's emaciated. He's got tape around his legs.
Their father brought to tears by what police showed him.
It sounds like a horror movie.
And the pages of Frankie's journal entries documenting their abuse.
This is not a one-time injury.
This is like injury on top of injury. This was happening for weeks.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. Today, that stunning announcement from England. Princess Kate, 42 years old, revealing she's been diagnosed with cancer. ABC foreign correspondent Maggie Rooley is in London. Maggie, what can you tell us?
Yeah, Byron, I think the whole country here is just still in shock. This was a stunning and heartbreaking announcement from Kensington Palace. And then to have it come from Kate in what was really an emotional, raw and vulnerable video. You know, we've been spending the past few weeks hearing all of these conspiracy theories online, all of these global concerns about her health. But now we are hearing from Princess Catherine in her own words.
It has been an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family.
Today, Catherine, the Princess of Wales, addressing the world on camera for the first time in months.
In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London. And at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I'm now in the early stages of that treatment.
The 42-year-old mother of three and future queen of Great Britain revealing she has cancer.
This, of course, came as a huge shock. And William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family.
The palace saying they will not be sharing what type of cancer Catherine is fighting, as the princess has a right to medical privacy, as we all do. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle echoing the sentiment in a statement, saying, "We wish health and healing for Kate and the family and hope they are able to do so privately and in peace."
The timing of this announcement now is because George, Charlotte and Louis, they've just broken up from school. So William and Kate can really kind of take them off right now and have them in a bubble and protect them.
Concern and speculation around the princess's absence building to a fever pitch after weeks dragged on with no video evidence of her well-being since her hiatus started around Christmas time.
If this announcement doesn't calm conspiracy theories, then I don't think anything will. Because you have Kate sitting in front of a camera filmed by the BBC, speaking in her own words, telling us directly what is going on.
Earlier this month, Kensington Palace sharing this photo of Catherine and her children, said to be snapped by Prince William in honor of Mother's Day in the UK. It was captioned, "Thank you for your kind wishes and continued support over the last 2 months." The sweet snap intended to reassure the world that all was well.
The photograph of Kate was put out, I think, partly to stop the misinformation that was online.
Hours after the palace released the picture, multiple photo agencies removing the image after concluding it had been digitally altered.
Once they revealed that the picture had been manipulated, it was pretty bad for the brand royal family, because you've got respected newswire agencies saying that the Kensington Palace is not a reliable source of news, on the same regard as North Korea and Iran.
We saw things get really, really outlandish, people not believing anything that they were seeing, theories going in really kind of wild directions. And I think that was a very difficult thing.
The next day, the Princess of Wales addressing the uproar in a social media post, saying, like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. Earlier this week, video finally emerged of Catherine and William at a farmer's market obtained by TMZ.
In choosing to make this announcement, they have made people understand a bit more why she might not be able to resume engagements, even though she is up and about in her daily life.
Another hard blow to the royal family. Just last month, King Charles announcing his own diagnosis of an undisclosed form of cancer, less than 18 months into his reign as king. In Kate and Charles's absence, the share of high-profile royal duties increasingly placed on Queen Camilla and Prince William's shoulders. That added pressure coming at a time when Prince William's brother, Prince Harry, who once worked by his side, is still distant from the family.
Because Harry and Meghan are no longer working royals, we've got this very small number of working royals and there's only so much ground that they can cover.
The two of the star performers, the King and the Princess of Wales, are no longer going to be seen in public for many, many weeks, months. But I do believe that people will be patient and be rooting for the Princess of Wales and for the King.
For now, Kate's focusing on her family and her healing.
It has taken us time to explain everything to George, Charlotte and Louis in a way that's appropriate for them and to reassure them that I'm going to be okay. As I've said to them, I am well and getting stronger every day by focusing on the things that will help me heal in my mind, body and spirits.
This comes just a month after King Charles announced his cancer diagnosis. So how's the institution handling this crisis?
Yeah, Byron, this is really an unprecedented situation, one the royal family in this country hasn't seen before. Here you have two senior members of the royal family, the king and a future queen, who not only were diagnosed with cancer at almost the exact same time, now they're both taking a step back from their royal duties. So the royal family right now is really in a crisis, one personally dealing with these traumas, dealing with their grief. Also professionally, when you look at the royal family, all of a sudden there is so much pressure on the few working royals we have left. That's a lot for anyone to deal with.
A lot indeed. Maggie Rulli from Buckingham Palace, thank you so much. We will, of course, continue to follow the health of the royal family closely and wish both Princess Kate and King Charles the speediest of recoveries. When we come back, the momfluencer turned felon, Ruby Frankie, disturbing evidence made public today.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back. Ruby Frankie was sentenced in February to years in prison after pleading guilty to abusing her two youngest children to truly shocking degrees. Tonight, we examine images of what police saw last summer when Frankie's 12-year-old son escaped and ran to a neighbor's house. Here's my Nightline co-anchor, Juju Chang. And we warn you, some of these images are disturbing.
It's a hot summer morning in the Kayenta neighborhood of Ivins, Utah, when a Ring camera picks up a young boy.
Hi, I was just wondering if you could do two favors.
Well, what are they?
Taking me to the nearest police station.
The neighbor, distraught, calls 911.
911, tell me exactly what's happened.
Said he just came from a neighbor's house. He's emaciated, he's got tape around his legs. He's hungry and he's thirsty.
Okay.
He's obviously covered in wounds.
Within minutes of the call, the EMTs and officers arrive. To protect the 12-year-old boy's identity, we're calling him R. And what you're about to see may be unsettling.
Underneath the duct tape was saran wrap, wrapped around both of his legs. And on both the wrists were the same. When I asked him how did he get the injuries, he told me that his mom and Jody.
Does he know his mom's name?
Ruby Frankie is his mom's name.
Ruby Frankie, the famous influencer and mom of six, and her friend and business partner Jody Hildebrandt, who lives just minutes away. R informs the police he has siblings at Jody's house, and the police rush over.
Police officers, open up! Jody, I need you to step out.
I have my attorney.
That's great. Step out of the house.
Whoa!
We were able to enter Jody's house due to the exigent circumstances that surrounded us finding R.
Police, anybody home? Police officers.
Just over 10,000 square feet.
Take the hall. Okay, George, you got it.
This home has multiple bedrooms, bathrooms, hallways.
Weight room.
Including a large safe room.
We found rope, we found handcuffs. It was really set up like a private room.
We entered a room that had a bed in it with an attached bathroom and an attached closet. And in the middle of the floor.
Come on, my buddy. I'm a police officer. Hey, you okay? Is it just you in here?
I get if you're scared. I would be too. You're in no way in any trouble. I'm not here to hurt you. I just want to make sure you're okay.
E, as we'll call the 9-year-old to protect her identity, is Ruby Frankie's youngest child.
Ruby is in a panic and driving down from northern Utah.
When she showed up, she was immediately detained.
Officers spend nearly 6 hours searching Jody's home that day and collect multiple bags of evidence.
Due to the totality of the circumstances and the evidence that we have found, there was enough to charge these two with aggravated child abuse.
Ruby's demeanor during her arrest, a stark contrast to the animated and highly vocal mommy vlogger fans had been used to seeing on her popular YouTube channel, 8 Passengers.
You guys, none of my kids have training wheels.
There's Sherry and Chad, the two oldest children who are now adults. Then there are two teenage girls in the middle and the two youngest children, E and R.
Very quickly, 8 Passengers had millions of viewers for almost all of their videos.
But in 2022, Ruby abandoned her popular vlog and joined forces with Jody Hildebrandt, a therapist who is also Ruby and her husband Kevin's marriage counselor. Together, Ruby and Jody became the face of Jody's online life coaching business called Connections.
Welcome to Connections. I'm Jody Hildebrandt.
And I'm Ruby Frankie.
The same day that we placed Ruby Frankie and Jody under arrest, Kevin also came to the police department looking for his kids.
He is placed in an interrogation room.
Well, I want to pick up my kids. I haven't seen them for over a year.
Was he even aware that the kids were at Jody's house?
We don't know if he was. It's clear that he moved out in July of 2022.
They just worked on their marriage like most people do when relationship issues come up. Part of that process was stay away from your children and only respond to Ruby when she contacts you.
Kevin is shocked to learn about the abuse of his children and is quickly cleared as a suspect.
Folks, I don't know what to do. I have no idea what you're talking about. It sounds like a horror movie.
It becomes clear to investigators that problems really began when Jody Hildebrandt, the therapist who ran the online life coaching business Connections, entered the picture.
You see a complete disintegration of the Frankie family. Kevin Frankie has left. He has moved out. She leaves her two teen girls back in the Springville home, and she essentially moves in with the family therapist, taking her two youngest children with her in Ivins, Utah.
The investigation later revealing what went on behind those closed doors.
R shared his side of the story of what happened inside the home. how he had to stand in the sun for hours a day and sleep outside, how he was deprived of food and water. He disclosed that there was a set of silver and a set of black handcuffs used. So when we found these items, it really corroborated our story.
The prosecutor showed us photographs of the deep wounds from the handcuffs, what he describes as torture. We want to warn you, the image you're about to see is graphic.
This is not a one-time injury.
This is like injury on top of injury. This was happening for weeks.
Oh.
More evidence of the abuse is documented by Ruby herself in her personal journal found by the police. It's a sheaf of papers documenting the summer, day by day.
7/11/23, Tuesday, R was told to stand in the sun with his sun hat. He is defiant. When I poke his back to get in the sun, R doesn't even flinch. On 7/14/23, E refuses to work, screams, has hair shaved off.
As for Jody Hildebrandt, she's referred to throughout the journal as G-Jo.
She says, G-Jo helped me intervene after work. I cut more off E's head. We doused her with water in the dog wash.
It really shows that both of them were very involved with the corporal punishment and physical, emotional abuse.
How bulletproof was this case as you were heading towards trial?
It's not that often that you have one of the two co-defendants cataloging their criminal acts that they're doing.
Kevin is now reconciling with his two oldest, once estranged children, Sherry and Chad.
Any comments for today?
Not today, thanks.
And is fighting to regain custody of his youngest four. Kevin also filed for divorce from Ruby. As her sentence approaches, Ruby has a change of heart, now accepting responsibility for her own conduct and even agreeing to testify against Jody. On December 18, 2023, she pleads guilty to 4 second-degree felony charges of aggravated child abuse. The remaining 2 charges are dropped.
And to count 6 aggravated child abuse.
With my deepest regret and sorrow for my family and my children, guilty.
Jody, knowing that her former friend and business partner was willing to testify against her, she also pleads guilty to the same 4 charges of aggravated child abuse.
Guilty.
The Utah Board of Pardons and Parole will determine how long they'll end up spending in prison. And from what we know of the level of felony that both Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt pled guilty to, they can get anywhere from 4 years in prison to 30 years.
We're told E and R have been placed together in foster care.
They look so much better. They've put on weight. They look healthy. They're happy. They're back to their hobbies.
As for their siblings, the middle teens, ABC News reached out to the Department of Child and Family Services, citing privacy policies. They told us they can't share any information.
Kevin does want custody of the kids. He wants a relationship with his 4 minor children.
R was extremely brave. Not only did he save himself, but he saved E, and she was grateful for R.
Our thanks to Juju. You can watch the full episode of 2020's Ruby Frankie, from Monfluencer to Felon, now streaming on Hulu. When we come back, a message of hope and solidarity from Princess Kate.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially 4 trials facing former President Trump as he makes his 3rd bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan. but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
And finally tonight, we leave you with something more from Princess Kate's stunning announcement about her cancer diagnosis. The future queen using her platform to inspire others.
At this time, I'm also thinking of all those whose lives have been affected by cancer. For everyone facing this disease, in whatever form, please do not lose faith or hope. You are not alone.
Amen to that. That's Nightline for this evening. Catch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time on Monday. Thanks for the company, America. Have a good and safe weekend.